And that's why God so desires for us to come in accord, to come into one accord, to come into unity. That's why he says, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am to be found in the midst of them. And it's when we come, it's not just because I come and meet you here, but I come and meet you in unity. We come united in Christ. You know, there was an old song, a rock and roll, I don't know if it's in the rock and roll area, it said, united we stand, divided we fall. You know, and it's the same with the kingdom of God. United we stand, divided we fall. You know, he has given us everything we need to be successful, to be victorious, to be more than conquerors. He's given us all the blessings. All the blessings of heaven has given to us on earth. So we just have to learn how to enter into what we already have. So many times people are running around trying to find something they already have. They go look over here, and they look over there, and they go search over there, and go look there, and they're looking all over, and it was right inside them. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within me. You know, we don't have to run around and go find Jesus. Amen. We don't have to go around and find the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here. Amen. You're the body. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. My body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is here. Every time you come into the room, God is there. Amen. So as we come into this room, what we're doing is we started a fast of weeks. You know, there was 7 weeks, the Feast of Weeks is what it was called, that led up to Pentecost. And we started a fast of weeks. And I'm just giving some edification to the ones that haven't been here, okay, so they understand where we're at. And we began a fast several weeks ago. We're stepping in week 4. Amen. I mean, the Lord's been dealing with all kinds of my flesh. Amen? I don't know what he's been doing with you, but he's been ministering to my heart and my life. But we started a feast of weeks, a fast of weeks, and we proclaimed the fast, and we're not saying what you fast. What you fast is between you and the Lord, but we were fasting according to the letters that Jesus wrote to in Revelations to the 7 churches, and the church is the complete church. We believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. History has a way of repeating itself. So some of the things that they were dealing with in the book of Revelations is still taking place today. You know, just like God, he changeth not. Satan doesn't change either. He's your arch enemy. He's an adversary. He's come to try to destroy your life. Amen. He's come to try to destroy your family, your homes, your marriages, your children. But God came to give us life in the abundance thereof. So if I have a source of life, I want to learn more and more about the giver of life. You know, because we hear so much about the giver of death. Our whole lives, every day, is filled with noise. Noise of darkness. We're in this world, we're not of this world, but there's all kinds of activity in this world to draw you away from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we started with these Feast of Weeks. We started with the letter to the church of Ephesus, and we recognize this as the apostolic church. And the apostolic church, Jesus said, hey, he said, remember from whence you have fallen, repent and return to your first love and do the first works. So, in other words, when I remember something, what do I have to do? I have to meditate. I have to think back. You know, and if we're allowing the Spirit of God to minister to our hearts and lives, there's junctures in our lives when we're walking with Him. Sometimes we get off on a side trail. I've done that before. I do it a lot. But the Lord draws me back. So as He draws me back to the straight path. And so we talked about the remembering, repenting, and returning unto the Lord and doing the first works. And secondly, we talked about the church in Smyrna, and that was a deeper revelation of wealth. This church was a persecuted church. They went through some battles. Sometimes they were at the bottom of the barrel. But Jesus said, but thou art rich. In other words, they were blessed. you know. And we talked about having a $10 million trust fund. Do you remember? As a child of God, you have the kingdom of God. It belongs to you. You're an heir to the kingdom of God. And as an heir, as a joint heir with Christ, we are blessed. We're blessed in this life, and we're blessed in the life to come. When Jesus taught us how to pray, he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He didn't say just in heaven, but his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And last week we talked about the church in Pergamos, Pergamon, and it was a deeper revelation of the truth. And the Word of God says, "And you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that shall make you free." In other words, lies or bending the truth isn't going to get you free. So sometimes the truth is hard to hear, but it's for our benefit. You know? And he talked to us about association, what we apprehend, what we take in, what we arrest, and application of how to apply it. And today, we're going to go to the church at Thyatira. And Revelations 2, verse 18. So if you get your Bibles there for a moment. Before I lead into this, just for a little foundation. Jesus makes reference to a prophetess named Jezebel. History in the Word of God never declares a Jezebel being in this church. And this is a Jezebel spirit. It's a spirit of rebellion. If you've studied the Word of God in 1 Kings 18, 19, 20, and 21, and to 2 Kings chapter 9, we find this story of Jezebel. Jezebel was a false prophetess. She was the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove sat at her table. She was wicked. And she was very revengeful. She was very rebellious. She was unsubmissive. She was very dominant. She was vain. She had a lot of vanity. Matter of fact, her vanity is what ended up killing her in 2 Kings chapter 9. Amen? And so as we're reading this and as we're looking at God's Word, let's just open our hearts and see what the Spirit of God wants to say to us through the preaching and teaching of His Word today. We'll start reading in chapter 2, verse number 18. And it says, "Unto the angel of the church at Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." You know, when I think about the eyes of fire, and I see that. See, God, man looks on the outward appearance. God looks onto the heart, and his eyes are almost like piercing to the very soul. I imagine as we see that, his feet are covered with fine brass, which speaks of majestic. It speaks of a majesty. He's King of kings and he's Lord of lords. Amen? So he says, "I know thy works in charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." In other words, this church was busy doing good things. They were busier than when they started. In other words, they kept doing good. So there was a commendation that they received there. Then he says in verse 20, he says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins in the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Yeah, and when he's speaking of his children, children have a way to follow the generation of their parents. It kind of flows down, you know. There's an old saying, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And he says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give a power over the nations. And he shall rule with the rod of iron and the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Today for this message, I just want to focus your attention to verse number 20 that says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou lovest that woman Jezebel, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, probably loved her, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This morning, as message is titled, A Deeper Revelation of Compromise. Compromise. And you know, it's the poison. Poison from the pulpit. This was known as a corrupt church because they were allowing false teaching to enter in. And part of this false teaching drew people away to follow darkness. And so today we're going to speak about a deeper revelation of compromise. We're looking at this seducing spirit, a defiling spirit, and an idolatrous spirit. But it's going to end good. Amen? Amen. So we're going to go on a little journey through the Word. Everybody ready to go through a journey through the Word? Amen? Are you with me? Yep. Now, when Jesus is writing his love letters to the churches, recognize they're letters of love. They're not letters of condemnation. They're letters of love. That his love letter is written to us to give us, that our eyes may open up, that we may see what's going to take place in our world and our nation before Jesus returns. Hello? And I believe you think that hell's been loosed. Oh, hell's going to drop loose here late soon. And the church better be ready. We're armed and we're dangerous. We're armed and dangerous, not to one another, but to the kingdom of darkness. When Jesus said, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth, now go ye therefore, there was a transfer. When he said go, he says, I give you power to tread on scorpions and serpents. Amen. He gives us power over darkness. And God wants us to know as this day comes, if we're not walking in authority, we're going to get walked over. Hello? I was just listening yesterday to a couple of the pastors back there. They're speaking about even same-sex marriages being adopted in Virginia. And all of a sudden they're going to try to force you to do it in the church. And I won't break God's law. And I'll have to answer to whatever happens, but I'm not going to break God's law. I'm not going to break the law. In other words, he says, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's and render unto God's what is God's. But when it comes to causing people and joining and preaching and teaching sin, I will not do it. I may get persecuted for it. I may go to jail for it. They may take away our 501c3 nonprofit corporation. But we have to tell the truth. Amen. We have to stand for the kingdom of God. The Bible says the kingdom that suffers violent and the violent take it by force. Amen. And we're not going to give in to the adversary. We're not going to give in to the works of darkness. Amen. God's raising up an army, hallelujah, that's going to stand strong against the work of darkness. That's going to stand strong for God's word. That's not going to sway it, not going to bend it, not going to twist it around, but it's going to speak the truth and speak the truth in love. In other words, love is what it's spoken in. When Jesus is writing this letter, he said, hey, you're doing really good. You're doing some good stuff. You know, hey, that thing you did this week, when you helped that person, you're blessing me. Oh, when you were there praying for that individual this week, oh, I saw that. That blessed my heart. When you shared Jesus with that person, oh, when you shared me with them, oh, I saw that. It blessed my heart. You're not doing that. He's not sitting there saying, hey, you're doing all bad. He said, but hey, notwithstanding, amen, 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 amen. In other words, what God wants us to get a hold of as a church is we don't adjust to the world. We can't adjust to the world. He doesn't want to lose a soul. But we can't change the truth to tell them a lie, to make them feel good about living a lie. You know, I think he told Ezekiel. He made it pretty plain. He said, if you see your brother in sin and you don't warn him to turn from his way and he dies, I'm going to hold him on your account. But if you tell the truth and they don't listen and they die in their sin, you freed yourself. Amen. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes people might not like me, but I'd rather be a God pleaser than a man pleaser. I tried to think of pleasing people and messes you up anyway. I've just made a decision. I'm going to just please God. I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to lead by example. I'm going to lead. I'm not going to try to push anybody to do anything they don't want to do. Hallelujah. Jesus never pushed anybody. God never pushed anybody. I ain't going to push anybody either. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm not going to go there. I was going to go somewhere, but leave that alone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can we lift a word together and make a declaration in the house today? Can we make a declaration together? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. Thank you, Jesus, that you care for me so much that you want to tell me something today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Speak after the service. Right. Well, it's what it's like this. The Word of God says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, he reaps. You want to reap? You sow more to what you want to reap. So whichever you're sowing to is where your harvest is. So if something's grabbing you this way, that means you got to sow more this way. So as you press in, he says, you draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. It is what the Word of God says. I'm not saying this to you. I'm just saying what the Lord says. So as this is start pulling you this way, you got to draw that way. Amen. You keep sowing the word of God. You keep sowing prayer. And you watch this. Out of the mouth, the words you speak. Every time you speak, most of the time when those sins are pulling, we feed the adversary instead of feeding the spirit man that's in us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. He says, we overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, what we speak. We have the right to speak life or death. In other words, if something's coming or a word's coming towards my direction and the adversary is trying to plant something in my mind, is trying to plant something in my heart, the Bible says the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God and bringing under captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. In other words, I got to get my mind in line. Hallelujah. Hello. I got to line my mind with the Word of God. When he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, I've got to get my mind on what God says. God's Word says, I walk by faith. I don't walk by sight. So as I'm walking by faith, it's not always what it looks like. It doesn't always look good because the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. And so many times because I don't see it and I don't visualize it, I believe it's not for me. But all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. In other words, here's what happens. Just as the word was spoken from the very beginning, God said, and all of a sudden the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Now the word is in us. Amen. So as the word is in us, it becomes us. In other words, more word, more Christ, more us, more Christ in us. Hello? In other words, I allow Christ to be manifested through my life through the word of God. And if my mouth says something contrary to God's word, I say, shut up. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Hello? In other words, he says life and death are in the power. We're going to speak life. Every time, you know what I do? Every time I buy one of these lies from the adversary and I speak it, I beckon more demons from the pit of hell to come and bug me with that. In other words, sometimes when I speak, and we say, why is this happening? Sometimes when I speak, I'm the one that is calling them forth. We're to be treading. We're to be stepping on the devil's head. Hello? And he loves so much just to mess us up. That's right. Blow it out. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly. Out of your belly. There's something that flows. When I think of living water, I'm not thinking of the Black's Run in Harrisonburg. And that's the way some of our mouths are. Excuse me? Some of that pollution and that contamination comes out of our mouth, out of our belly, man. We have the Spirit of God. Out of our belly flows rivers of living water. Living water brings life everywhere it goes. You know, you go and you hear this report.
The news comes on. There's a famine in the land. You don't have no insurance. You don't have no health care. You don't have this. Oh, hallelujah. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, and all of a sudden I start speaking. I don't know where this is coming. Something opened up. Let's go. All of a sudden I start speaking. And I start feeding into it. And then I get by the water fountain at work on break time. And all my brothers and sisters that are around there at break time, they're not even Christians. And I'm feeding the miserable, dark pollutions of the world. I'm buying into that thing and I'm speaking that thing. And God gave us power. Power. Life and death is spoken here. We have the power to prophesy and say things. Stop saying I've got this and I've got this. By God's grace, he healed me of this. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can't look at things the way I used to look. I can't see them like I used to see them. You see, I was sharing last night with somebody, and when I was in the world, and I had corporate world, I could just come in and make moves and do things and change things around and whatever, and now I got to wait for God for everything. Every time I get out in front of him, I get nothing done. It's like beating your head on the wall. Doesn't accomplish a thing. You walk away from the wall, and you got a headache. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I guess we ought to get back to what we're preaching about today, huh? Appreciate you, Linda. Love you. Amen. You hear what the Spirit's saying to us? See, these are the things that are going to come. These are just some of the things that are going to come. I was reminded this pastor one time shared a story. Congregation was all gathered together, and there was three masked men that busted through the back door of the church. They had masks on and they had firearms. They said, "I'll give you one chance. If you'll deny Jesus, you can go ahead and leave. If you won't, you'll face me." And he said there was a scattering. It was jammed and ran out. There was a few that hung around. And the pastor and his worship leader was under the mask. And they took the mask off and said, "Now, let's have church." Amen. Yeah. You know, hey, you know, no matter what's going on, no matter what's going on around you, you can always have church. Man, when I'm facing something, I get into the presence of God. It doesn't take a song. Sometimes he uses a song. Sometimes I'll be there, and all of a sudden he'll just come. And he'll meet with you. He'll comfort you. He'll love on you. Amen. Amen. He says that you're his jewel. Before Christ, I was just like a piece of coal. He forms you and shapes you into a precious jewel. Let me take that back. You weren't a coal. That's not true. You are a diamond. God created you as a diamond, and the world has tried to taint the image of God off of your life. And the problem is we try to be so much like the world, we lose focus of what God created us to be. You know, and we try to, well, maybe if I do this or act like this, or maybe if I look like this or I wear this or I do this, I'll fit in a little bit more. The Bible says you're never going to fit in. He says you're a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Does that answer your question? Amen. That's what happens when you ask a question. We're all good. Hallelujah. he says in the name of the church of Thyatira, these things, wait a minute, I'm here, wait. He says a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants. To teach and seduce. That word seduce comes from the Greek word plan o-u, or plan u-a, or plan a-o, plan a-o. Yes, plan a-o. It's spelled P-L-A-N-A-O, plan a-o. And plan a-o means to deceive, to cause to wander or to roam. You ever notice that something that seduces you causes you to wander, causes your mind to wander, causes you to roam, causes you to visit places that you weren't intended to visit, but that seducing spirit came and it caused you to wander off track, caused your mind to wander. Have you ever been in a place and you were doing something and something came and all of a sudden your mind just wandered off, and all of a sudden you visualized something and you saw something and that thing started manifesting itself in your mind and created an image? That is sort of what was taking place with this false prophet. She was teaching and seducing. And I want you to look with me in Mark chapter 13, because I want to speak just a couple of minutes on this subject. Mark 13, when you're there, say amen. Praise God. And the word of God says, "And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things." Now, when he speaks of Christ here, it comes from the Greek word Christos, which means, and this thing, it means anointed one or someone with charisma. There's a lot of charismatic people that aren't leading you to Jesus. There's many affluent people that people follow them because of their charisma. They have a seductive spirit. In other words, they'll follow them because they sound so good. Sometimes they sound too good to be true. There's an old saying, if it sounds too good to be true. But he says, they will seduce you with lying signs and wonders. Remember when Moses went to Pharaoh in Egypt? And God used Moses to show signs and wonders. And what did the magicians do? They mimicked him. And they showed signs and wonders. In other words, there's going to be signs and wonders, but do not align with the Word of God. There's going to be false teachers, even though they're signs and wonders. This is the guideline. This is our guideline. Basic instructions before leaving earth. This is our instruction book. You know, and it's just like if you're a cook or a housewife or someone that bakes something. You follow the instructions. And if you leave out some stuff, sometimes it just doesn't turn out as good. Like, for example, you're making a cake and you forget the eggs. You have a cake, but it's flat. It's not fluffy, right? The eggs is an ingredient. And God uses all the ingredients. You know, he gave us this blueprint of life and all the wisdom and knowledge that we need to be successful. And we could stand up by the fire, get by the cozy fire, and we could take a novel that big and sit and read that thing. Some people can. This is everything you need in this life. When Jesus said on the cross of Calvary, when he told you and I, it is finished, there was nothing else that needed to be done. This is complete. And the key is for you and I to come into revelation and understanding what's already been accomplished for us. In other words, what we learn to do is we learn to enter into the finished work of Calvary. You know, if it wasn't for the finished work of Calvary, we wouldn't have the helper. We wouldn't have the Spirit. We've got everything we need to be successful. You know, when I was looking at this in the scripture, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When he's talking about that Paul is speaking about the Antichrist, and the Apostle John says that there's many Antichrists, many Antichrists already here. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 6, he says, "Now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Also he who now letteth it will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Ha, the bright morning star. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they may be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but who had pleasure in unrighteousness." You know, God is a God of love, mercy, and grace. Amen? And he's given us everything we need to be successful. And when the seducing spirit, when this Jezebel spirit, when this seducing spirit comes in and causes and tries to get God's people to wander and roam off, you have to take authority over it. In other words, you have to put 1 John 2 into practice. So if you turn with me to 1 John 2, verse number 26. He says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Plan A-O, that deceive you to roam or wander away from the truth. Okay? He says, "But the anointing." Look at your neighbor and said, "That's." Look at the neighbor, your neighbor, and say, "That's the Holy Spirit within you, which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointed teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Amen. In other words, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The anointing, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 57, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you ask of the Father, he shall do unto you." In other words, I'm walking, and you and I are walking with God because we have the Spirit of Christ inside of us. So when someone comes to seduce us, to wander away from the truth of God, the Spirit quickens us inside, says, "No, no, no." You know, if you're a child of God and you've got the Spirit of God in you, every time you do wrong, there's an alarm clock that goes off inside of you. And every time, if you'll be more sensitive to the thing, you know, somebody called a conscience. You know, and so the Spirit of God, when I fall, now his blood covers me, his grace forgives me, Amen? So it's important when I get quickened by the Spirit to say, forgive me. Not to ignore it. You know? Because most of the time when I fall and do wrong, I know I'm doing wrong. But I say, don't leave me alone. Let me get this out first. Right? But you know what? Even after I do that, he still comes back in love. He still comes back and he gently knocks at my heart's door. He says, hey, behold, I'm knocking at your heart's door. If you will answer the door and open it up, I'll come in. I want to sup with you a little bit. I want to chat with you. I want to communicate with you. I want to be in a relationship with you. You know, God is into intimacy. You know, no one knows anything like love like God does. He created love. Amen. Amen. Love's been tainted by this world, man. We have a false perception of what love truly is. Amen. Hallelujah. So he's warning this church at Thyatira. He's warning them to be aware. Keep your eyes open. This false teaching that'll seduce you, that'll draw you away. You know, this Jezebel spirit, for understanding, and is a spirit of rebellion. It's the same spirit that the serpent came to Eve with in the Garden of Eden when the serpent said, hath God said? Hath God said? And all of a sudden, this thing will start twisting the word. Just like when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, when he came out of the wilderness after he was fasting, the devil used scripture but took it out of context. He twisted it around. He tried to use it to condemn Jesus, to get Jesus to bow down and to worship him. You know? And that's the way that the adversary comes. And this is what came in. You see, he said, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. And this word fornication, I want you to hear something. In this text, there's two fornications in God's word. There's the literal, and then there's spiritual. There's the natural and the spirit. You know, we deal constantly with the natural man and the spiritual man. And if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 15. He says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. For he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. For he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Then he says, flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And you have of God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Glorify God and your body and your spirit. See, not only there's a fornication in the natural, but there's a fornication in the spiritual when your spirit man starts serving false and lying and deceiving gods. You're breaking the spirit. And we have one spirit, the spirit of God. Amen? And so if we're feeding our spirit man, our spirit man and our flesh man are at a battle with one another. You know, so he is saying when we do these things, we not only we sin against our body, but also our spirit.
Amen.
Our body, just not our body. Amen.
To illustrate this a little more, go with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 11. I love kids, so I want that monkey doll. Hebrews 12, verse number 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men. Look your neighbors, say, follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. All right, get that. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be of any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know now that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. In other words, what he did is was Esau sold his birthright. In other words, he didn't commit fornication. Nowhere in the Word does it say that Esau committed fornication. But what he did is he sold the blessing for a morsel of bread. In other words, he gave in to a lie. Amen. God was his supply. He was already walking in the blessing, but he believed a lie. He stepped in a lie, and God says, whatsoever man sows, he's going to reap. In other words, it caused Esau to lose his blessing. Amen. And so when we're looking at this fornication, it's a lot of times it's fornication in the spirit man as well as the physical man. Now, I'm not saying it's okay to fornicate in the natural. No. But in this case, he's speaking about a false prophetess that was causing people to err from the truth. They were erring from the truth. They were fornicating. They were mixing with false gods, false spirits, lying devils. You know, let me tell you something. The adversary, he's pretty slick. You know, the Bible says he would come in as the appearance of an angel of light. The very appearance. And that's why that we as children of God, he isn't talking about, he's even telling this Jezebel, this prophetess, false prophetess, he was even telling the teacher, if you repent, I'll forgive you. But if you don't, I won't. In other words, see, this was a defiling spirit. That seducing spirit came in, and it was a spirit of that a defiling spirit. In other words, it was contamination. It was a contaminating spirit. All of a sudden, they were getting contaminated. The truth was being twisted, and they were being contaminated. And so many times we spoke about this, and I think this is a good word to give here. Turn with me to James chapter 3. Verse number 6. The Bible says, in the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. In other words, he said this tongue is what defiles. In other words, words spoken through our mouth. He said, this is a little member, and it's really hard to get under control. He said, it's just like a rudder on a ship, how a little rudder moves a big ship. And this tongue moves a lot of things. And in other words, it has the opportunity to move light or move darkness. You know? In other words, so many times when we speak into something, that's when things become defiled.
In other words, what he was saying to this church, he was saying to this church, there's someone that's teaching false doctrine, and this doctrine is going to defile you. He says, don't eat things offered to idols. In other words, this is an idolatry that was coming up. In other words, they were believing. You have to understand that with the prophets Baal, the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, they were worshiping fertility gods. They were worshiping trees. They were worshiping the creation. And they were worshiping other things, but they weren't worshiping God. They weren't bringing glory to God. Amen? They weren't giving him the glory and the honor and the praise. So, in other words, he's talking to them about eating things offered to idols. In other words, when you eat something, you digest it. You take part of it. You get it inside of you. It's just like when you take some food and you eat some food, and the food goes in your mouth and you swallow it, you digest it, and the food goes throughout your body. And that's what was happening with this word. They were receiving false word. They were believing it as truth. They were entering into it. They were taking it. They were eating it. They were digesting it. And then he called them that they were in a bed of adultery. In other words, who are you married to? I'm the bride of Christ. Are you the bride of Christ? At first, I really had a problem with that. I really had a problem with being the bride of Christ. Amen. Till I saw it, it's something that's a beauty, you know? Like my beautiful bride. This week we'll celebrate 37 years of marriage this week. 37 years. Man, you talk about getting some rewards in heaven. Woo! She'll get a lot of rewards. Turn me to 1 Corinthians 10. Okay, I'll stop talking here. 1 Corinthians 10, we're talking about idolatry, and the children of Israel. Paul makes reference to the children of Israel when they were going through the wilderness. Verse number 6, now these things were for our examples to the intent that we should not lust after things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As written, the people sat to eat and to drink and rose up to play. In other words, over in verse 21 there, he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and that of the table of devils. All right? Then he says, neither let us commit fornication as some did of them committed and fell at one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed to the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto us for examples, and they are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There have no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Amen? Amen? In other words, this is what happened. This seducing spirit came in, caused them to defile themselves, and caused them to eat of things that were offered to idols to in a form of idolatry. Amen? And as Christ is warning us of that, he says to them in Revelation chapter 2, verse 21, he gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. He said, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into a great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I guess in closing today, what is God saying to you and I, his church, is simply this. You know, there's a deeper revelation of compromise, that we belong to God. I've been bought and I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ.
And he is saying to you and I, in this world, there's going to be many seducing spirits that will come and try to draw you away. These seducing spirits will come to try to defile you, to contaminate your faith. They will cause you to eat things or partake of things that belong to the adversary or the devil. But God has come to give you life and the abundance thereof. He says to you and I, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So today as we close in prayer today, allow the Spirit to search your heart. Allow Him to search your heart. You know, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus that are walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But if you got some flesh issues, release them to Jesus. He's the only one that can change us. He is the only one that can transform us. He is the only one can take us and make us whole. Amen. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father.